Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Extra Normal Podcast. Halloween is not canceled in these corners.
He's already stuttering and we just started.
At least I'm not butchering words because that's usually what happens. So this is we got Halloween decorations up. We got all kinds of stuff. We're in the mood.
Bitch, this is all year long. What are you talking about? Well, it's like coming down. I don't think so.
Well, we have certain things, but there's like you have to create. We have some people we know who are like Halloween all year round, but for us, it's like you have to like have some specialness to it. You have to like have that feeling of like bringing out the decorations and stuff like that. For me,
bringing out the big guns.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of Halloween, you want to jump right in?
Yeah.
What are we gonna be talking about?
The Seesaw Hotel.
The Seesaw. Speaking of Butch, you said Seesaw though.
It sounds more fun. Maybe it's just our name of our kids. Seesaw.
Our kids. What you have on the brain? We're gonna be talking about the Seesaw Hotel, the famed hotel that is actually not that far away from us. We're only about. It's located in downtown, and we'll downtown Los Angeles, and we'll get into the geographics and the specifics. But it's not that far away from us. How come we haven't taken a field trip to the famed and infamous Seesaw Hotel?
One word.
It's a shithole.
Child.
Seesaw is a real, like, people go to, like, do paranormal investigations, but it is a real shithole. Like, it is a bad stay. Like, even if you don't, like, your sheets don't get pulled off the bed, like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not pleasant.
The people that I know that have stayed there and were trying to do, like, a paranormal, like.
You know people who have done
that? No. Just, well, I watched on the videos, when I was doing my research. Stuff, yeah. Yeah, they were saying that they were scared there's like bed bugs. Like, it's that dingy there.
The shit's real. Like, that's the real thing is the bed bugs. Like,
and it's funny because I feel like a lot of those people are like, oh, it's because it's next to Skid Row. And when I was watching all those videos, I was like, are you serious? Like, who cares if there's homeless people around? Like, well, calm down. Because we used to go to shows at The Smell.
Yeah.
Shout out to The Smell. Is that even in existence?
I don't know if
anymore?
It's a thing. We used to go to this little tiny fucking dive, right? And this was like pre-gentrified fucking downtown. Like, downtown Los Angeles, we can get into a lot of the history, but downtown used to be fucking, like, it just used to be a place that, like, people would go for business, like, 9 to 5, and then they would book it out, like, and it was like it was a dead zone at night. So, but we would go to shows.
You're already making me yawn. It's only been like the first 5 minutes.
Okay, you're the one who brought up the shows.
Oh,
because you're not used to staying up past.
Oh, Chris.
All right. Anyways.
No, but you're right. Like, yeah, but yeah, no, the conservative whatever people would leave. And then all of us would come. All the freaks would come out at night. And I loved
all
it.
All the dirt bags.
I love partying in LA. I miss it.
It was fun. Especially, you know, the thing with downtown is it was close to us. And it was a little more fucking, I guess, gritty. I don't know. It was fun. And there was all that old fucking cool building shit in downtown Los Angeles. So, Seesaw Hotel. Getting back to the subject, you derailed us this time. Not me. For the record.
Yes, and if anybody would like to call in regarding this
if anybody
subject,
would like to derail us further.
Please call. I don't know the number. What is it?
It's 6. I'm going to say it slowly.
626.
Because people are like, oh.
I know that part.
Where's my rotary? 626-733-8256 to give us a ring. And let's talk about Seesaw Hotel, or let's talk about in here. Your Halloween spooks or aliens. We can get back into aliens. I know probably some people are like, oh.
Always.
Another fucking ghost story. I don't know. Like, I'm into the aliens, but whatever. It's Halloween time.
Yeah.
It's time for the spooks.
Every day is Halloween.
So let's get into it. So Seesaw Hotel was, it was built in 1924 by a guy by the name of William Bank Hanner. Which is a totally like old rich dude name from 1924, William Bank Hanner. He spent $1 million. And if you think about Seesaw Hotel today and how fucking decrepit it is, he spent $1 million in 1924, which was 40 million bucks back then. So he was like, man, this is going to be the shit, man. It's downtown. And that time, so people who don't know the history of Los Angeles, like at that time before the Great Depression, downtown was it. Like, that was like where it was like what you would think of downtown, like a bustling center, and there was theaters and all kinds of great shit, essentially. And then he built it with, there's 14 stories to the Cecil, right? I think there's 14.
There's, I think, technically 14, but they say that there's, well, as they modified it, mm-hmm. they say that there's only 10. But I think technically there's
Wait, 14. What happened to the other four? There's only 10 available?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's, they just changed over the years.
So originally it was 14 floors, 700 rooms, which is pretty big.
Back when it was built. And then what happened? The Great Depression.
The Great Depression happened. This is the only
That's kind of the downfall, right? That's like
where that was. Well, this dude built it in 1924, and it was like the shit. And like he had some success, and like, you know, business people and traveling people were staying in this hotel, and they thought it was awesome. And then the Great Depression hit, and this place, like, if you go to the lobby, like a lot of people. If you need a reference, if you haven't seen pictures of Cecil, just think about American Horror Story, season whatever it was that they did, Hotel, because that was literally based on it. It's like this, the lobby is this beautiful, picturesque, giant, ornate, marble, stained glass lobby, because it was set out to be a luxury hotel. And the Great Depression hit, and it was just, everything got fucked in downtown.
There was also a movie named after it. I think it's called like Dark Water.
Oh, that's after Alisa.
Yeah, but I mean, it takes taking place.
Does it take place in downtown LA?
It definitely is gearing towards that. I don't know if it's specific. I haven't seen it personally. If you've seen it, call in. Tell us about it.
If you've watched a movie recently, call in 626-733-8256. No, so it was like, this place was set to be the dreams of a banker, or Banner, I should say. But then it just plummeted. And then in the 30s, it just became a shithole. Like, it became a real, genuine shithole. And
it seemed like it all after the Great Depression.
Yeah, right? No, the Great Depression is what triggered this. Yes. Because
it's so sad, because it seemed like before that, it was like on top of, it was in its prime.
Well, look at the, like, and like downtown has had a real, downtown Los Angeles, for people who are not in LA. In our era, like, it has had a real resurgence. But there was a lot of, like, nice-ass places that just fucking plummeted. There's a lot of beautiful theaters. There's a lot of, like, beautiful old hotels that just, like, sank into despair because... And they're having a resurgence. Cecil has not. But a lot of them are having a resurgence because of this resurgence of people thinking, like, downtown is Los Angeles is hip again. And there's, like... You get all your fucking kombucha, which is probably an old reference. They probably moved on from kombucha. But you can get all your local, like, you know, weirdo food and shit like that in, you know, downtown.
Yeah. Well, I think what really drives me to even just, I don't know if I would want to stay at the Cecil Hotel, but.
I would not.
I would love to walk through just to see the decor, because it's all Art Deco. Oh, my gosh. If you guys get a chance, look it up online. Just, yeah, looking at it. And they've even, the refurbishing to try to, like, you know, change it up, they still have kept that, like, infrastructure, which is, I'm so happy about.
Yeah, so they've kept everything, because it's just, I think that's the thing they're clinging on to. Like, check out our lobby. Our rooms are fucking terrible. You don't have your own bathroom. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that. And
some of them do you do?
Some of them. If you pay extra. Yeah. If you pay extra, we'll give you a toilet. But if you don't, then you're going to have to shit with the commoners. So yeah, it was. Yeah, that's the thing they're holding on to. Or they were, because I think they're actually closed now.
Is it?
I think so. After the whole, this whole COVID thing, they just like fucking shut down.
Oh, yeah.
So,
unfortunate.
Let's get into the most boring part. The first death, William McKay, 1926.
Was it suicide?
Natural causes. Boring.
Oh no! Didn't he?
No, he died of natural. The first like kind of seedy shit that happened was in February 27th, I believe, of the following year. Is John Cronow was arrested for being a burglar.
Poisoned himself. Somebody back in the 30s or 40s poisoned himself.
I think Dorothy Robinson was the one who poisoned herself. Let me look it up.
No, there's a male.
No.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm just saying no. Yes, how sir. You said no. I don't
I
care.
I saw the picture. I saw the footage. They just bleeded out his face because it probably looks scary. But, yeah, so it kind of geared. I think for him, it was probably from the Great Depression. And then there was a female after that. And then, yeah, it just became the spot.
Yeah, so there was, so for a while, the Cecil was dubbed Suicide Hotel because there was a lot of suicides. So the first, let's get into suicides because that's always fun. I believe the first was in actually, I think around that time there was Dorothy who died of kind of suspicious causes. I know who you're talking about. No, I don't. Sorry.
Tried.
This is the fucking worst. Helen Gurney was actually the first one to commit suicide.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off the seventh floor. So fun.
Oh, tell us about you were telling me there's some woman that like jumped off from the balcony.
In 1961, Pauline Otten. She had a quabble with her husband. She actually this Pauline Otten. October 12th, 1961, she showed up to her, at that time, estranged husband's work and was trying to work things out. And the husband's like, oh, no, this is work. We got to, come on. Let's go to the seedy fucking hotel called the Cecil and we'll work things out. So they went to the Cecil and I guess they had an argument and stuff like that. And they tried to work things out. And Dewey's like, man, I'm tired of this shit. Like, they didn't end up making up. And so he went to go get food. And so Pauline decided to end it, I think, off the ninth floor. And so she jumped. But there wasn't just one death on that instance. She actually landed on a poor soul called George Giannini, who was a retired fellow, an older gentleman, and she landed right on him.
Was he homeless or was he just walking?
No, he was just walking, like, I'm retired, I'm gonna take a stroll.
Yeah.
And that originally they thought actually they committed suicide together.
Oh.
Like it was a suicide pact. Yeah. But the only way that they decided that it wasn't
there was no witnesses?
I mean, I don't know. They didn't mention any witnesses. Mm. But the only way they realized that it was not like a mutual suicide pact type of thing is because his shoes were still on. And I guess if you fall from that height, your shoes are going to pop off. Like there's no way your shoes and his hands were in his pockets too. And there's no way if you're going to,
even if they're tied really tight,
even if you double tie them, I think they're coming off.
Good to know, I guess.
So this caused Cecil to be dubbed Suicide Hotel because there was a lot of suicides. You know, Julianne Moore threw herself off from the eighth floor. Grace Magro threw herself off from the ninth floor. She was the third. So there was a string of suicides, and they kind of dubbed, which fits from, if you look at kind of the scale of how much it cost per night and where it was at, like it was ripe for people on their last straw. Like it was ripe for people who were at their wits for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And it was insane. So it was dubbed Suicide Hotel because of this. And so it was ripe for all that stuff. The first murder actually was in early September of 1944, I believe. Dorothy Jean Purcell. Did you hear about Dorothy Jean Purcell?
No.
So there's this 18-year-old who was she was treated real right because she had a 38-year-old boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. And they would stay at the Cecil when they were on their rendezvous. And she, one night she woke up with terrible, terrible pain. And she went to the bathroom because she didn't want to disturb her boyfriend.
Lover boy.
Ben Levine, who was also a shoe salesman, was so real, real classy. She didn't want to disturb him, so she went to the restroom. And surprise, surprise, she had a baby. and she panicked, and she didn't think that he was, the baby boy was breathing. So she opened up the window and threw the baby off the fucking, out of the hotel room.
Like, did she, knew she was pregnant at this point?
No,
right?
She didn't know. It was one of those surprise, those bizarre surprise
those,
presences.
Those are so wild to me.
Like, I don't get that.
I mean, I understand, like,
I don't get the physics
up to, like,
of
a
it.
6 month mark, you know, you're just like, oh, I'm gaining weight. But when you get to that point, like,
there's a surprising amount of stories where there people are
maybe
full
they
blown
have a,
and they have a baby and they didn't
they
know
have
about
like
it.
A high tolerance to pain or something, because that's just fucking
hard. I mean, we saw a perfect example of that on 90 Day Fiance. We saw true. That. And people do that. There's a show. I think there's a show like Surprise Him, I Had a Baby or whatever the fuck it is.
But that's insane. Just, oh, I'm just going to throw it out. Like,
she panicked. And she, so she threw the baby over, and I think someone discovered it in a different hotel or a different
could
roof.
They tell? I mean, could if
so the reason why they knew that the baby was
stillborn?
Because it had, well, they knew that it wasn't dead. It wasn't stillborn is because they found oxygen in the baby's lungs, which means it was breathing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she went to trial, and she actually did not get convicted.
What year was this, the 40s?
This was 1944, yeah. Oh. And so she actually...
She didn't get convicted?
Well, she pled insanity, and she...
Oh, hell no.
She was found found not guilty by insanity, by reason of insanity.
She's insane.
Because they thought it was panic or whatever. So apparently she lived a full life, and she died in 2000. Apparently it's a scuttlebutt.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gross. So, gross. Ugh.
So that was the first case. And it's probably maybe top three most like high profile murders within the second was in June 5th, 1964. Did you hear about Goldie Olson?
Mm-mm.
Pigeon Goldie.
Mm-mm.
So there was this retired phone operator who there was a lot of people who just kind of half lived at this Cecil fucking hotel. So she was a retired old phone operator, and she would go. See, the reason why she was called Pigeon Goldie is because she would go to Pershing Square and feed the pigeons. So they were like, "Hey, there's Pigeon Goldie." She's like a fucking weirdo who feeds a pigeon. She was like 65.
I feel like I would be her friend. I like her.
Probably. I think she'd be cool. I'd be like, hey, there's Pigeon Goldie. I think she probably liked the name Pigeon Goldie. But her body was found in her room, stabbed, strangled, and raped on June 5th, 1964.
How old is she?
She was 65. Right in the room. Everything was disheveled and shit like that.
Well, see, when you're sharing bathrooms with people, that means they have access to your room. Like you said, there's a lot of like
oh, wait till
transients.
You find out about, speaking of access, wait till you, or just people running through, wait till you find out about Richard Ramirez. It's fucking nuts.
Oof.
But they, so getting back to Pigeon Goldie, so they, this lady was butchered in her room, right? And they actually thought they found the dude who was named Jacques Ellinger.
Mm-hmm.
They found this guy. This is downtown in the 60s, up until probably very recently, more recently than a lot of people in the LA City Council wants to probably admit. But they thought they found the killer, because they found this Jacques guy just fucking strolling around Pershing Square, just bloodied. Just like he's got blood all over him. He's like just strolling around. Like,
yeah.
And so they tried it, but they couldn't convict him. But that's kind of the speculation.
Are you going to
so.
Take the blood samples? That would
No, not on that day. 1964, they're like, we got fingerprints. That's it. There's no DNA.
That's insane.
And so that her death is still unsolved. So there's people who believe that she's roaming the halls. And Elizabeth Short is probably, she wasn't murdered there, but Elizabeth Short is probably the most.
Well, I've heard like mixed reviews about the Black Dahlia, because... Some said she actually stayed there, and then some said that they just had seen her having a cocktail.
Well, it's all based off of Meryl McBride, who is a policewoman, who said that she saw... So, getting back into it, so Elizabeth Short, just in case nobody knows, she's the Black Dahlia from the Black Dahlia murders, and she was... essentially turned, it's awful, but she was turned into the Joker. Like she, her, while she was still alive, she was found in Lambert Park, I believe. But she was essentially, her mouth was cut, like on both sides, opened up. And so she just was just butchered. And actually they, at the scene, what's crazy, another crazy part about it, at the scene, they didn't find any blood. Which is bizarre.
She was like drained, right, or something.
She must have been drained, and her she, so at the time she was, they think that she was still alive when her mouth was cut, which is awful to think about. But then she was also essentially not decapitated. What do you call it when you are cut in half?
Oh yeah, straight from her, to her like belly button.
Just, essentially, just, yeah. So yeah. she was cut into two. And so they think so. What? So. They started asking around because she was kind of around downtown and stuff like that. And she was a struggling actress. And this Meryl McBride, she was a policewoman, and she said, I met this woman in a down, I think she might have mentioned Cecil, but she might have just said downtown bar. And she was talking, and she mentioned that she was really scared of this person she was seeing, and that she, an ex, that, and that she would, she was scared for her life. And she left, and that's so that's where the speculation that Cecil was the last spot that she was seen in a bar.
And nobody knows who that boyfriend was.
No. I think that to this day, I think that murder is still unsolved.
Wow.
Probably because this whoever this fucking awful person was left as such a what seemed like an unfortunately a fucking architect in this, because he left no blood, all that stuff. So that's one of the mysteries and the allures that comes out of fucking Cecil. So there's a lot of crazy ass shit, like just generic within the Cecil's halls. There's a lot of crazy, seedy suicides and murders, and it also was housed two serial killers,
right?
Richard Ramirez from 1984 to 1985. Stayed at Cecil, and he would actually commit his murders around our area. Like he was in, I think he might have committed a murder in Whittier, which is right next to us. The Night Stalker, as he was deemed, 13 murders is what he committed, but he stayed at Cecil. And what he would do is when he would murder someone, he would actually, so he would obviously have a shit ton of evidence. He would be bloody. Because he was brutal, absolutely fucking brutal person. And if you look at pictures of him, he's real nightmare. But he would, so he stayed at Cecil because it was cheap and it was downtown, and it was a seedy fucking hotel. He would go back home, essentially to his hotel, but he'd come through the back, and he would, so all his bloody clothes, he would take them off, throw them in the dumpster. And then he would basically be in his fucking undies or just butt ass naked. And go back into the hotel, like essentially go through the lobby and go up to his room on the 14th floor and just blast AC/DC.
What year was that?
Again. This was 1984, 1985.
Yeah, so like I feel like at that point there were so many transients living in and out of there. When you think of like homeless people, unfortunately a lot of them have mental illnesses. So shit like that, they're probably like, oh, well, that's typical. That's how they are.
That's the thing.
You know, hey, if he's paying his rent, who cares? You know, so...
That's the scariest thing about Cecil is, like, you could, I mean, there's clearly a dark energy surrounding it, and it might be just the history of it. It's, that might not be, like, I know there's some people who try to point to, like, demons, like, it's like a haunted, cursed place, but there's a history to it, and it's seedy, and it's in a bad area, and it's cheap, so it attracts these, like, lost souls. I can't even imagine, like, who knows what kind of, like, shit happened that we don't know about in the hotel, because just people didn't fucking pay attention. You had Richard Ramirez, who, if you look at him, he's a creepy-ass dude, like, on his own, like, clothes and all, like, jeans and tee, like, guy, like, I'm like, not so much. This guy butt-ass naked or in his undies, like, walking through the halls, and nobody says shit. So I can't even imagine, like, what kind of shit happened. And just the fear, like, if just beyond the whole fucking ghost shit, like, living in that, or partially living in that hotel and knowing that you could be fucking stabbed, that right. all the kinds of seedy ass shit that can happen to you, that's real life fucking terrors.
Yeah. No, thanks. No, thank you.
Yeah, so he stayed there, and he would commit his murders, and go up, and just fucking smoke a dube and listen to some AC/DC. I wonder what
the employees, like, thought of him.
Could you imagine, like, I was thinking about this. They had to have
interviewed some of the employees. I wonder how they
felt. They did. I'm sure they did. Could you imagine being the fucking manager of that place? Just the general manager of Cecil Hotel and the kind of shit you would see. Like, I don't know. I wonder if the general managers think it's haunted. They must, right? They must have seen some shit.
I don't know. They might just see a lot of crazy people. Maybe more like possessed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess. I mean, there's a lot of people who are possessed. And also, speaking of serial killers, Jack Utenberger. Have you heard of him, Utenberger?
He came over here on a like killing spree, right? He was from out of the country.
So this dude, this guy, another Cecil alumni. So 17 years before 1992, so I think in 1974 or something like that, he actually got convicted because he was trying to have some fun time with a lady, and she denied him. Wasn't having it? Mm-hmm. She wasn't having it. So this dickhead decided to strangle her with her own bra and murder her. And this guy went to prison for what was deemed life at that point for 17 years, or it was life maybe without parole or something like that. So he went to prison, and he was in prison for 15 years. And then because he must've been a charmer and he was an artistic dude, he actually started writing poems and writing autobiographies and all kinds of crazy shit. And they advocated for him to be released because they said, clearly this guy's reformed. This guy's reformed. He's learned his ways. He's writing this beautiful poetry. Like, they started teaching about his story in schools and stuff about how you can reform.
So disgusting.
And so this guy got out after 15 years. And they're like, he's a free man. He's reformed.
At this point, like, how old is he now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Let's find out.
But older. Like, I remember seeing pictures, like...
Yeah, he's older at that point. Yeah, he's older. And so he...
Like, in his 50s, probably.
Somewhere around there. Yeah. So he became a reporter. He became a journalist. And you guess what he covered? What? Prostitutes.
Of course he did.
Yeah. And there's a little onion peeled back when you hear about his story. So he decided to cover prostitution, and so he did this in Austria, and then he actually went to Los Angeles. And if you're gonna report on prostitution in Los Angeles downtown, like, that's kind of
he knew where to go.
Mm-hmm. And so he started reporting. He was on ride-alongs with fucking cops and shit like that. And then Austria gave a ring to LA, essentially. It was like, hey, we got this guy. We had these murders few years ago or whatever, about six of them, and they seem to be like they use the same method as this previous case, and they seem to be correlated, and they had three murders in Los Angeles. And so they started putting the pieces together, and he got convicted for I think nine more murders while he was a reporter. So some of the women he killed, I believe he reported on. Like, he's like, there's this serial killer, it's serious business, and it was him all along. And what got him in the end is that he wasn't very fucking creative, like as creative as they thought he was, and an artist as they thought he was.
Yeah, how'd they get him?
Well, because he kept doing the same shit. Like, he kept murdering these, they were prostitutes, sex workers, I should say. They were these sex workers. And he kept murdering the same way with whatever lingerie they might have been wearing at the time. He would choke, strangle them and murder them that way. So, like, clearly, like, this has happened in Austria, this is happening here. And so that's how they got him. And he actually got extradited to Austria, and he got convicted. And he got sentenced. He got found guilty and sentenced, and that night he hung himself.
Oh, crazy.
And you want to hear the onion twist? So apparently his dad, I think his dad was like a piece of shit, and then his mom was a sex worker who left.
Whoa, so it was like he was getting back at
He was getting back at his mother for abandoning him, essentially.
So weird. The whole time. Oh, my God.
Lovely guy, Jack Undenberger. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. And one of the, and did you know, this is, and in researching this, I found this out. This is a dumb fun fact. Do you know that the apparently, like, investigators believe that at any time there are anywhere from 25 to 50 active serial killers at any given time?
Like here in America, just
like right now, there are about 25 to 50 active serial killers.
Ooh.
I don't remember now, but in general, like at any given time, there are 25 to 50 serial killers.
Yeah, I think I read a statistic that said something very similar. So yeah, that's kind of crazy.
So let's get into what brought Cecil back in the headlines.
So yes.
Eliza Lamb.
Yeah. Her name's Elisa.
Elisa Lamb, sorry.
So
excuse me.
There's that.
Yeah, I said it right the first time. I just got it wrong.
This story, I mean, all these stories like really bum me out. But doing all the research on her and you know, checking out like her Tumblr, because her social media still is up and running, and it's kind of just sad just because it's just there, you know. And then like the last days of her writing was like, you know, just a day before.
And that actually feeds into the conspiracy theory, right? Because she was posting Tumblrs. I hate to be
throughout rude. Throughout her trip.
Yeah. No, she posted, well, yes, but she also, apparently the scuttlebutt is she posted a Tumblr after her death, which led to some theories about
maybe her being murdered. I haven't heard that.
It was a random post. We could find it out.
What? Find it. I want it. We have to know that. But yeah, while you're finding that, we'll just kind of, you know, dive into this wild story. Like for me, like my biggest question is, you know, who killed Elisa? There's speculations when I'm like doing research. I kind of want to like cover all bases. Some say that an occult killed her, like if somebody, you know, some kind of form of like witchcraft, somebody that was involved in that, they say that it was like a human sacrifice, allegedly. Another speculation was suicide, a certified sex offender, because there were some living there at the time, and she was found without her clothes on. So there's speculations with that. You got to just think of
there was everything. A ton of sex offenders,
probably. Serial killers, because obviously there was some living there. And some people say that she was playing this Korean game called the elevator game, which basically usually the elevator has to go up to a 14th floor, which with the way that they had remodeled it, I guess the floors had only gone up to 10, but I don't know if she could go up higher to maybe a 14th floor, but maybe there was no residence. You couldn't live there or whatever. Maybe it's just for maintenance or whatever. But so they said she was playing this possible game where you enter the other realm. What other realm? I don't know. They said it was, you enter like a dimension that's like our world, but everything's darker. There's like a cross, like you'll see like a hazy red cross in some of the levels when you go up and down. And then also like they say to avoid a woman. If you see a woman, you're just supposed to, if she comes in the elevator with you, you're supposed to just avoid her. So there's speculation that maybe the woman took her because in this.
So let's get into, so we could talk about the elevator sequence, which is probably one of the, that's the most famous video that's come out of Cecil for sure.
Yeah.
But getting into kind of the history.
But I wanted to just point out like some of like, these are just some of the speculations of why she could have died before sure. I get into it. And then also, like, the last one, or no, the last two, was paranormal. And then also, she had met a man and at her adventure to coming to America. So going back a little, like, history of where she's from. She's originally from Canada. She was 21 years old.
Vancouver, right?
She's from yes.
Vancouver.
And she decided to take a trip by herself. And she called it like her world tour. So she was going to come and check out the scene. She started off in San Diego. And in her blog, she talks about how spontaneous she was feeling that day and how she told a man that she liked him, a boy, man, whatever. No, there's nothing known about this man really? Other than that.
And also she said that she was like, so, yeah, she indicated that she might have been like, she had people like men hounding her, which is probably not that out of normal for, yes. for females, unfortunately. But
also that at one point she lost her phone. Which I think if this, she really met this man, and if that's what she was, the correlation is that he probably stole her phone and let her borrow his. And so she actually did log in from her friend, she called him her friend's phone, and use that phone to post on her Tumblr.
Huh. Yeah. So she made a trip down to San Diego. And she met this guy in San Diego. Is that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not that far. Like, if for people who are not around there, San Diego is probably about a 2-hour drive from, maybe 2.5 from Cecil. So it's not incredibly far. So there's a very plausible world where this person from San Diego who she met went up with her to Cecil. But I don't think that a lot of people apparently reported that they saw her alone. Right.
Yes.
So this guy.
There was. The day that she went missing, she was seen by an employee with two men walking in between.
Oh, she was? Oh, I didn't know about that.
Two men with a box, and nobody knows what was in the box. What kind of box? Don't know. Could have been cardboard. It could have been, I don't know, plastic.
Could have been full of bunnies.
They saw her walking in with a box, and that's why it's like, was it suicide? Like,
so,
you know.
So getting back into it. So Sunday, or not Sunday. Why did I say Sunday? That doesn't make any sense.
Sunday.
San Diego is what I meant. Sunday. Yeah. Sunday and San Diego. So getting her back into the Cecil. She checked in on January 2013. Right? And she checked in, speaking of checking in, she checked in with her parents. All
every
the
day.
Fucking time. Like
every
she
day.
Was she was very like she was very responsive to them, and she checked in all the time on our trip from Vancouver. The last time she was seen after
was
this
was entering the hotel with those two men, but prior to that she also was seen at the last bookstore.
Oh, was she? Mm-hmm. I like that story.
And well, that's the craziest part, is because like the conspiracy is like the last bookstore, because it's the last place she went.
That's a flimsiest fucking conspiracy.
I mean, it's kind of eerie when you think about it, though.
Yeah, it's the weakest fucking coincidence. But the last time, putting a postmark on this, or a date on this, February 1st of 2013 is the last time she was seen or heard from, right? That's when the infamous video.
Yeah, January 31st, an employee saw her last.
Mm.
And then that's, yeah.
That's when it all went to shit.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So then what went viral and what made her story so huge for anybody that knows of her or who doesn't, you can look it up on YouTube.
Is this video? This is the fucking video. Let's look at this video, because this is, so what made her so... Because you could tell by Cecil that Cecil is a fucking shady ass fucking place. There's people jumping off multiple floors. There's murders. There's drug deals. There's all kinds. There's mm-hmm. the Night Stalker post-murder walking around in I'm assuming, tidy whities. that prick walking around. There's people, there's all kinds of shit that's happening. Yeah. There's like, there's all kinds of shit. But the thing, go ahead.
No. Then, I was just going to like touch base on the fact, because there might be some people listening and might be like, oh, she was bipolar, and she was bipolar. But again, everybody that knew her as a happy, loving person. And when she was feeling in herself, feeling down and about, she would express that through Tumblr. She had a vlog, you know, that she would write about. And so she would speak about how she was feeling.
Yeah.
And she would always pull herself out of the darkness. She was on medication for it, but she seemed to be a normal person.
One of the factors that might lead towards that, and I'm not casting my hand in any of these spots, but is that she was on antidepressants and antipsychotics. When you take antidepressants, apparently you need to take antipsychotics, because mm-hmm. it can cause, if you have as much issues,
they have to level each other out.
If you have her issues, right, that severe, you have to take both to level them out. And they found when they did the autopsy, they found antidepressants but no antipsychotics. Right. So that might have contributed to it. But what made this so fucking famous is this fucking creepy video of her in the elevator, essentially playing mouse with what appears to be possibly someone else in there. And we're looking at it right now.
So, yeah. So in the video, like it almost goes into like what everybody thinks she is playing, this Korean elevator game. Because it's like, she kind of goes out and then it's like, she's just kind of standing there. And to me, it's like, is she in this new realm and doesn't know what to do? And she's kind of scared. But then she does start doing funny things with her hands.
So for people who are audio only, look at this video, and we're a few seconds in, and she's doing
weird hand gestures.
And clearly, like we she believes whether it's real or maybe perceived or some kind of mental health issue. Yeah. She sees something in the hallway. And there's speculation on what it might be. It, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. Like right now we're looking at it, and she's kind of left. One of the creepy parts is, I know that there's people said that she pushed the leave door open button, essentially, in the elevator, but that elevator door is not shutting. Mm-hmm. And that kind of unsettles me. I think that's one of the most creepy parts of it. Like for me, like it's small, it's minor, but it's fucking creepy.
There's some conspiracies with these videos, because so I was watching this documentary and I was fascinating. And there's actually 40 seconds of this video that was removed.
Oh, really? By police investigators?
And yes. And if you will know, by nobody knows who, maybe police.
Well, must have been police.
Maybe if somebody is working at this hotel is doing shady
shit. Is the ghost manager?
Who knows? But for her, like when you watch her moving right now, when you guys watch the video, the video is actually slowed down a little bit, and you'll notice it. It's not going in actual speed. So that's also what's making it look even a little bit more eerie than the normal. It's not going in normal speed. It's kind of, you could tell by, she like jumps out to kind of look back and forth. So yeah, it's really interesting. And so also, there are also speculations and research that prior to her leaving, she was talking to some guy from America, I'm assuming from LA, maybe from San Diego, someone in the military that had been working with,
what is this? You're taking it beyond demons. What are you going to have, some weird government military conspiracy?
Yeah. What's the place that Tanner and Ryan would go in? Raytheon?
Northrop Grumman is a big contractor. Raytheon is a big contractor, yeah.
Okay, so like a place like Raytheon, I guess somehow, like she posted on one of her Tumblr posts something about invisible suits. What? So, yes, like
no,
on, her,
but
it's
no,
on her Tumblr.
No,
so,
but no.
So some speculate that if you look, you can kind of see shadows of somebody else in there, and that she might be playing a game with somebody in an invisible suit.
Hold on. We need to talk. We need to talk. We need to talk. Because there's nobody from Raytheon with this magic invisible suit's going to go to the Cecil fucking hotel? Nobody.
Well,
nobody.
If he's part of some like weird cult and he's trying to do some kind of like testing, because like, what if she's trying to like touch him right now? Like, what if she, because when she's doing this, she's doing this weird thing with her hands, like she sees something in front
apparently
of her.
Like, there's thought that she might be petting, like, she might perceive an animal of some sort that she's petting. She kind of bends her knees and squats down and stuff like that. I don't know. I think that's a tough one to swallow. I think that there is possibility that she met someone. I don't think that there was like a traditional sense of murder, like if she was murdered. So what happened was, getting back kind of into like the what investigators know is the sequence. So February 1st is the last time she was seen, and then the elevator video is the infamous last scene at this point, at least of record. And then she just disappeared, and the parents called pretty quickly because she was so, she was so active, like in terms of like
social media,
communicating with her family and on social media and all that stuff. And I know that she indicated that she lost her phone, but she was active, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, look, the door, we're looking at the video, so the door opened. Maybe that's the invisible man.
Did you see when it first opened? When it, like, you could see kind of like.
This video is unsettling. And I could, the thing is, we could talk about why it's this video is so unsettling for a multitude of reasons. So the last, this infamous elevator video was the last time she was seen, right? And so her family, the elevator opening and shutting on its own is.
I think it's going to different floors, don't you think?
I don't know, but it's creeping me out.
Part of the game.
Oh, it's creeping me out so much. I can't stop staring at it. But so she was last seen on February 1st. And then she, after that, her parents called the police, and because they're like, this is not our daughter. Like, she's super good. She has.
But also, the hotel, they're the ones who actually called the police because. She never checked out. She was supposed to check out.
She never checked out. And so everything was suspicious. So they conducted a search, I believe, after this, before she was discovered. They conducted a search and they didn't find anything. And apparently the dogs never got towards the water tanks. Like, they went up to the roof, but they never got to towards the water tanks. So they never found her until the infamous February, was it February 13th, February 14th, around there.
2 weeks after.
2 weeks after. Hotel guests started complaining because the water pressure was low and the water tasted foul and it would come out dark. So the maintenance guy was like, well, we got shitty water, but let me check it out. So he did a bunch of searches and he saw that the water pressure was low and all that stuff. So he ended up checking the water tanks. And he unfortunately found Elisa. Is it Elisa? Elisa Lamb. Mm-hmm. He found her in the water tank, naked, and her clothes were in the tank. But
she was bloated from, yeah.
Yeah, because she was in there for a while. So that's when everything, after that, after the video and her getting in the water tank, because she, so the water tank is obviously on the roof.
There's no possible way she could have opened it. She was little and close it, because even if, say, she did open it, or I did do some research and found out they leave it open all the time, which is disgusting. Like, why are you leaving that open where bugs can get into it?
They're up to all kinds of shady shit.
But like, protocols are they bathing exactly in there, you know, because like there's probably like tagging up there.
That's
where
the general manager they'll tell
so,
us.
So she, even if she could get in herself, who closed it on? She couldn't have closed it herself. And also, and you need to look this up because you're going to be like, no.
No.
In Pig Latin, like written next to it, it says, I'm already saying basically, no. It says,
nobody writes in Pig Latin.
It says the words, she's been taken care of. She's taken care of. She's gone.
Wait, on the tank?
Or something. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Who said that?
Look it up.
Who said that?
Look it up.
It's
one of the documentaries.
It's on the internet.
It was
so
on
it must
there.
Be true.
No, it was written on there and said it, like, it was there, like, it's been done or something like that.
Well, I think I that, I don't know about that. I can't attest to the validity really, of that. That sounds
can
flimsy.
Can I tell you another thing that you're going to think is flimsy and I want you to it's look it up? Fucking flimsy. Are you ready to look this up?
Because here's the thing. If you look at the water tanks, they're like, there's a little, essentially a little door latch. And there is, and you can conceivably jump in and someone can close it on you or whatever. But you're not riding. You're not going inside and riding on
it. No, it wasn't inside. It was on the outside. It was like on the outside. Mm. Yeah. But there's another weird thing is that, like, one, like, she was naked inside, but they say that they found on her clothes had to have been thrown on the ground first and then picked up and then thrown in because I guess they found debris from the ground inside
there. She could have been fucking rolling in the ground.
But in her clothes, you mean?
I think that, so here's the thing that's weird about the whole, here's the thing. I said it. Congratulations, everybody. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that she got up to the roof is non-controversial. I think that it's weird and it's tricky, but I've seen videos of people just getting up to it. People got up to the roof. Yeah. You're not supposed to, an alarm is supposed to be set off if you get up to the roof, but it like clearly like
somebody that actually visited from China, he actually showed how easy it was and he went actually above like where the water tanks were. And he actually, like looking down, I was like, oh my gosh, somebody could have thrown her in there. Somebody, or she could have jumped in. And he said that they were open. They were like completely wide open.
Yeah, so. I think that the fact that she got up there is like non-fucking controversial. I even think that the fact that she got in the water tank and the door was shut is not that controversial. I think maybe there might have been someone who was... I think maybe she met like this guy from San Diego. Maybe she met, and maybe she was on, she was essentially off her medication and was out of her right mind and she needed help. And welcome to the Cecil Hotel. Like nobody's going to fucking help you. Like you got any, like whether they're perceived demons or they're actual fucking demons in the hall, like nobody's going to fucking help you. Like if nobody could help catch the Richard Ramirez as he's walking naked in the fucking hall looking like a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't got no shot. This was, and Richard Ramirez is 1985. It's not like it was like back in 1932. Yeah. Like, this is not that long ago.
Can I give you another conspiracy theory? Like,
you can.
Completely coincidental. Mm-hmm. But, okay, I'm getting ready for you to start fucking laughing because it's happening.
Tell me it doesn't involve aliens in this
one. So, the same week.
Uh-huh.
The same week.
Uh-huh.
No, there's no aliens. I wish there was. the same week.
There was a
huge breakout of tuberculosis.
Yeah, they tested her for that.
And do you know what they called the strain of tuberculosis?
I do know, and that's a coincidence.
Fuck off. Anyways, the name was
Elisa, Sam Elisa, right?
Lam Elisa. Yeah. That to me, what the fuck?
Why would they name why? I don't know.
Why?
Well, they named it before that, right?
I don't know. I think it's interesting that the outbreak, they hadn't had an outbreak of tuberculosis that bad in a decade. And they tested her for it. And they said, was she positive?
I think she was negative on that end. She was essentially, there was nothing that was, so the things that were, so she, there was no drugs, no alcohol, no like cocaine or any shit like that in her system. It was the antidepressants along with the absence of an antipsychotic medication is what they, and I think that's what that led them to essentially determine that it was natural causes, essentially. Not natural causes, but you know, it was an accidental drowning.
Such bullshit.
Well, why is it bullshit? It could be a possibility. I think that because of Cecil Hotel and the shadiness of it and the people coming through and stuff like that, and clearly management has no fucking control. Like they're like kindergarten teachers of an unruly fucking trouble school. Like they do not know what's fucking going on.
The problem for me is like watching the infamous video that they have of her on YouTube. Like, where the fuck are the guys doing the surveillance? Like, where's the security?
Oh, there ain't security at Cecil.
Yeah. Like, you see this fucking girl, like, acting weird in an elevator like that. Wouldn't you? Because, but now
security
they do.
Security is, like, the most senior,
now they do. If
like,
you come, if you come up with a camera and you try to videotape while you're there, they won't even let you stay in the room that she stayed in because they don't want to make it this scene. Like, they shut it down.
Well, because they actually, so that gets us into a little bit of the revamp. So, Cecil Hotel, because of its infamous nature, like, it's housed serial killers and a whole heap full of suicides and gruesome murders and obviously this strange case of Elisa Lam. They actually changed, and I think before even, I think during while Elisa Lam was staying there, she stayed at the Stay on Main is what they tried. So they were clearly going through a rebrand because I don't think that they saw, it's known as a shithole through and through, and I think they were trying to revamp it into like something that was, with along with a downtown revamping, they were trying to revamp it into something that was like truly a destination. So, you know, I think that's why all the fucking heavy like don't go up there kind of bullshit is.
Yeah, I just, you know, it really irritates me knowing that like some of these deaths, like, and some of these murders could have been stopped if they would have some kind of security, because now they sure have security if you have a camera.
Oh, it's complete
bullshit.
They'll
follow your ass around. They'll be like, put your camera away. Oh, but what about the guy running down naked or stabbing the woman? Like, you know, what, like the suspicious character, like, you don't come and stop them. Like, I don't know. That's why I just think like everything about that place is evil. In maybe something about the employees that they're all in on it too.
I think it's you'd mark it as a cursed place only in the fact that it was meant to be this prestigious jewel, right? And it became it shortly after. Like, it was supposed to be this opulent location with this beautiful lobby and it hosting all these amazing people. And if it would have stayed that way, all the rooms would have been revamped and it would have been like a super snazzy hotel. But it was cursed by the Great Depression. And ever since then, it's created its own curses, you know. That it's no accident that it attracted, whether by nature of its seediness and its affordability and that sort of thing. It attracted Elisa Lam, you know, in a certain way, like, because it attracted Richard Mascus, because like, you could get away with.
I don't know if she, like, that's another thing too. I would like to know when she booked to stay there, or this person that she met, if he decided to take her there. That's what's kind of weird.
I don't know. And I think that, I just think that, I think there's a certain, and I think people like, who's a second serial killer, Jack Rittenbogger. I think there's a certain allure to this hotel in its weirdness and its creepiness. Like, I think, I don't know, maybe she was alerted by this person in San Diego, and I don't think that, to be clear, I don't think that she was murdered in a traditional sense, in that like he's like get in the water tank now. I think if anything, there was a person who was around her with her at that moment who encouraged her to do this crazy stuff. He's like, yeah, like, let's go up to the roof. Oh, you're going to go in the tank? Yeah, let's go in the tank. Like, I think there was someone who encouraged her. I don't know if there was someone who was like, I'm going to murder this lady. Because it's kind of a, when you look at people who are serial killers or murders and stuff like that, there's a certain satisfaction in carrying out the murder. Like, and there was no, there didn't seem to be any foul play with Elisa. Like, she, by all accounts, she died of a drowning, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's a little bit of a kind of a flimsy murder to be like, hey, just get in the tank and I'm satisfied that you're drowning yourself. Like, it's kind of like the person would like forcibly drown her if it was a murder, you know. And in terms of the demon stuff, I think that I can't even imagine, like,
well, Robert Ramirez,
yeah, Richard Ramirez.
Sorry, Richard Ramirez. Like, He even,
his name right. That
he even his hand, he had the mark of the devil.
Yeah, he was like a big Satan guy. Like, so, and he was like the so cheesiest fucking goofball. And I think
that's
Satan.
Where the conspiracy theories come in for Elisa, because they're, you know, trying to say that maybe they were doing sacrifices, some kind of sacrifices.
Well, I think also too, like if you think about, okay, imagine this world, and it's an awful feeling to be, but I think that even, so imagine a world, okay, and picture yourself in Elisa's shoes, like you are off a certain amount of your medications, right? And you're having an episode, and in your head, you know, like she had to know that this was the place where Richard Ramirez hung out and Jack Rittenberger and all these people. Just the
but did she? She's from Canada.
I think it was pretty infamous, right? I think that don't they hand you a card that says this is where Richard Ramirez say when you check in?
I honestly she seemed like she seemed so young, but she was very smart. Like everything I learned about her,
she was a bright girl.
Very smart, and even though she was suffering and dealing with this mental illness, she was handling it very well, very sane. And so I really think she was just probably this young girl, started talking to this guy that's part of this cult online, ex-military guy, meets him in San Diego. They rendezvous there. She probably was like, I want to go to San Diego. There's probably a spot that she wanted to check out. Mm-hmm. And then he probably was like, oh, let's go to this place, LA. And she's obviously everybody from all over the world wants to come to LA because it's the spot. So he probably encouraged her to come here, and maybe it was part of his whatever. And like I said, like if there was that weird writing that had that double meaning, and you know, when she was seen with these two guys, who was the other guy? And there's so limited and to know about these guys that
again,
she was with.
Was so fucking fishy, like because she stayed in a. So she stayed in a. It was a. Essentially, part of the Cecil Hotel was a hostel where you would shack up with like a bunch of random people. Like, and it was like that
share
was cheaper.
Bathrooms,
share bathrooms, all that stuff. She actually was reported because she was acting strange, and she was given her own room because they're like she can't stay with us because she's acting too strange or whatever. So, yeah. Clearly she was there was something going on in her head.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was like just like this weird government cover up, because I'm just like, was she just really off her meds or?
But it's, I don't know if it's a government. I think government cover up is probably the least likely. I think maybe you can argue that she was hanging out with people, and she was kind of, she might have been hanging out with people, and she was, you know, clean as a whistle, and whoever she was hanging out with was high as a kite. And so he was, you know, self-medicated, and he decided to like, hey, let's go up to the roof. And then things went awry and shit went down, and he fled because, not because he wanted to kill someone, but just because things went awry, and then nothing happened because it's Cecil and you can just fucking walk out the door. You could be an accomplice to someone's
death. They
do
say that when they had done some research, when she went off part of those medications, the way she was acting, they specialists that were like evaluating her behavior were saying that's kind of part of what would happen. So, you know, so there is a chance she was acting weird and whatever because
I think
of
that
her meds
were off. I think that she got, I don't think there was a big government, because again, I don't think any Illuminati or any high-ranking government scientists are hanging out at the Cecil Hotel. They're not. They're going to other
well,
hotels.
Well, that's what was weird, is that that's supposedly this guy from Raytheon?
Is a place, is a company, yeah.
Yeah, like, suppose, like why would he be doing, like, these undercover things at Cecil when he obviously is doing that for his...
No, I don't think they're testing it out in Cecil Hotel elevators.
So I want to know, who do you think? How do you think she died?
I think that
it was an accident.
I think that it was definitely an accident, either of her own volition or of her own hand, or with an accomplice. I think that honestly, like, I think that this place has a bad energy, right? Because of all its history. And I think people know that. I think the employees know that. And so if you have these heavy mental stability issues, like, and you come into this bad area, like, and you're encouraged to be bad, essentially, and to go off on that stuff. I think she definitely went into the tank on her own. I think that she went, whether someone was like, oh, thanks, I'm closing the lid, mm-hmm. see you later. I think she definitely went in on her own. I don't know.
You don't think it was the elevator game possibility?
I mean, sure. Why not? I don't know. You're saying that she got, essentially, that she was playing with the, she ended up playing the game, and then she ended up playing with a demon, essentially, is what you're saying?
I mean, and that's another speculation. I don't know. Honestly, like, my top two, because there's a few.
What's your top 10?
Is that guy that she met killed her, or that game killed her?
Do you think this?
That game is, you're basically you're playing with the other side. She could have been, I don't know. She could have had that encounter with that woman they say that you're not supposed to, and maybe she started talking to her because she was already out of her mind. And
yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that's a tough sell. I think that, again, the Cecil has this fucking bad energy, and it has this bad vibe, and it has this fucking negative fucking aura around it, because it's just, it was doomed. Like, it was doomed from the outset, and it had a bunch of shifty ass characters in it, and it had people, and plus it's in an area that at one time it still partly is doomed. Like, I think she just, unfortunately, due to circumstances, like, it set her up for disaster.
It's just, yeah.
All right. Well, anyways.
Yeah, it's just a sad story.
It is sad.
Super bummed out.
Yeah, it's sad. This has been an episode of Extra Normal Podcast. My name is Chris. Again, you can find us at Extra Normal Podcast on Instagram. You can find us at Extra Normal P on Twitter. Extra Normal Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. You can email us at extranormalpodcast@gmail.com. That's a lot of places. Find us on YouTube. Smash that like button, as the kids say, or whatever. Subscribe so you can get the latest videos. You can find us all over the place, basically. Yeah, you can find us on Patreon if you want to support the show at patreon.com/extranormalpodcast. Brianna, where can they find you?
At Darlene Dolly with a zero, not an O.
Yes, with a zero, not an O. Yeah, well, this has been an episode of Extra Normal Podcast. My name is Chris, and I say always be friends of haunted hotels.
And I say, sure.